Hey, what's up, everybody? Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us for Church Online. We're actually, we had some technical issues on Sunday for our drive-in church, so we're going to do it a little bit different. We're going to re-record the message because we believe that what we've been talking about with Jesus being the greatest of all time is really important. And so we decided to redo the entire message just for you. And so, like I said, we've been doing a series called The GOAT, which stands for, it's an acronym for the greatest of all time. And so you kind of hear in culture, you hear it in society, people refer to the GOAT when they are talking about their favorite athlete or entertainer or artist. And so we thought, what a great idea to build a series around how Jesus is literally the greatest of all time. And so we've talked a little bit about how his humility demonstrates that he was the greatest of all time, even though he had, as Jesus, the Son of God, had certain rights and privileges. He sacrificed those. He gave those up and became like us so that he could save us. And it takes humility to do that. And that's one of the things that made Jesus the GOAT. And then last week, we looked at how even every other GOAT, somebody who would claim that they're the greatest or somebody who would have that claim bestowed upon them, they ultimately had to face their own mortality. Every one of them, they died. It's kind of morbid, but they took a dirt nap, every one of them. But Jesus, like we celebrated in Resurrection Sunday and the Easter story, he overcame death and the grave. And that's one of the things that makes Jesus the greatest of all time. And so this week, we're going to talk about something just a little bit different. We kind of stayed around the Easter theme and Good Friday and resurrection and all of those sorts of things. But this is more transcendent. It's something about Jesus that regardless of where you are in your life, where you are in your journey with God and whatever circumstances you're going through, it's something that is huge that helps us to understand the nature and the character of God. And so the thing that we're going to look at today that makes Jesus the greatest of all time is his faithfulness. He is great because he is so incredibly faithful. And what got me thinking about this whole concept was an old song, and I don't know if you grew up in church, but if you did, you probably heard there's an old hymn, and it's called Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I wouldn't sing it on Sunday, so I'm not going to sing it now, although I really, really want to. It's just really embarrassing because I have an awful voice and I cannot sing, but it is so fun to do it. But the song goes something like this. It's Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And I absolutely love that it's just this kind of re-emphasizing over and over that God is so faithful to us. And Jesus is the greatest expression of God's faithfulness, which we'll look at more in a little bit. But the interesting thing about this song is that it's actually inspired by a passage in the Old Testament from the book of Lamentations. Now, what's ironic about the book of Lamentations is that it's a lament, right? It's about mourning and processing grief and destruction. And so what's so fascinating is that in the middle of this book that's processing grief and destruction and chaos and all of these things going on, that you find in it this incredible reminder that God is faithful. So let's look at the passage and then we'll talk some more about the context. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says this. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. You'll find a recurring theme as we read this. His mercies never come to an end. When things never end, that means they are faithful. So the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So again, the book of Lamentations, context here, is five chapters. They're actually five different poems that are compiled into a book, and each and every one of them are lamenting the current circumstances. It's about the city of Jerusalem has been taken and it's been destroyed by the Babylonians, and they are being exiled. Those who are still alive are being carried off into captivity by the Babylonians in 586 BC, just one of the most catastrophic events in all of the Old Testament. And in the middle of talking about and mourning and processing the grief of these circumstances, we find that it says, great is your faithfulness. So we'll start with our first point, which should be pretty clear when you look at a situation like that. You'll find that our circumstances don't define the faithfulness of God. Our circumstances do not define the faithfulness of God. And so if it worked like that, just think about it for a minute. So if God's faithfulness was predicated or dependent on circumstances, then the circumstances surrounding this statement, this passage of scripture that we just read, would nullify the faithfulness of God if God's faithfulness depended on circumstances. But the faithfulness of God does not depend on circumstances. Therefore, circumstances do not nullify the faithfulness of God.
So our circumstances do not define the faithfulness of God. And so I think what we need sometimes, when we have circumstances that we struggle to see how God is faithful in those circumstances, we just need some objectivity and a little bit of perspective. Some objectivity and a little bit of perspective. We get in the moment, right? We're such micro people. We see what's right in front of us, and we so often fail to realize the bigger picture and what's going on around us. We're focused on the micro, but we're on a macro journey, and we serve a God who sees things in full, not in part, like we do. And so the situations that we face currently are just a fraction of the totality of our lives and our journey. And what happens is when we don't have objectivity, we have subjectivity, and we allow emotion to kind of control the circumstances in the situation. So to be objective, to have some perspective, what you do is you see that God is faithful even when things aren't going like you would like for them to, even when circumstances aren't as favorable as you would prefer. Let me give you an example of this. And this is one that's probably all too real for so many people, especially given the current economic environment. Let's just say maybe with the economic slowdown and all of the shelter in place things that are going on in the world around us, especially in East Texas, where we're from, you have oil prices at an all-time low, I guess at least a 20, 25-year low. So all of these things are going on and the economy slows down. Let's say you get laid off or your job does cutbacks or whatever the case may be. If that happens, obviously unfavorable circumstances, but that does not nullify the faithfulness of God. God is faithful even when your circumstances would cause you to question his faithfulness and make you wonder and try to figure out exactly how it is that God's working. And so what we need to remember in moments like this, in seasons like this, is that our provision does not come from a company. And our provision does not come from the government, G-U-B-M-E-N-T. That's not where our provision comes from. That's not who we've placed our trust and our hope in, because you'll find that there isn't faithfulness in entities and governments. Our faithfulness is found in God and God alone. And so when we put our trust in him, then we see that he is the one that provides. Again, circumstances do not define God's faithfulness. And so there's a couple of verses that I think really, really emphasize this and do such a fantastic job of saying in a few words what I'm trying to say in many paragraphs. So we're going to read those together. Psalm 37, 25. And this is one of my favorite because I love kind of the paradox of it. I was young and now I am old. And for whatever reason, whenever I read this or I hear this, I feel like it's a verse that's got some soul to it, right? So I was young and now I'm old. Ha. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. I was young and now I'm old. I've lived some life. I've gone through some stuff. I've experienced high circumstances, good circumstances, favorable and advantageous circumstances, but I've also seen the other side of it. I know what it is, like Paul says, I know what it is to have and to have not. I know what it is to be in abundance and to be in lack. And yet through all of these things, we see the faithfulness of God. God is with us. He provides for us even when our circumstances don't seem to indicate that he is faithful. Another one is Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And when I say that, it doesn't seem to indicate that he's faithful. When we don't have the right perspective, we would be inclined to think that he is not being faithful in those circumstances. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says this, "And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." My God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I just love the way it kind of covers all of the bases. All means all, and that's all that all means, right? All means all, and that's all that all means. So God provides all of your needs. He is faithful to make sure that your needs are met. And so when we're in these moments or these seasons where we don't think our circumstances are demonstrating the faithfulness of God, just have some perspective. Remember that God sees things in full. We tend to see things in part. We tend to follow our feelings, which can often be very deceptive. If you don't think your feelings can be deceptive, look back at your dating relationships in your life and tell me that your feelings didn't lead you down some paths that you should not have gone down. His greatness is evident in his faithfulness, right? And one of the ways that we get to see this is not just when we get through a storm. So many times we have kind of this revisionist sense of history. When we get to the other side of the storm, we act like we were so brave in the storm. But the truth is, a lot of us, we're hunkered down and we're cowardly and we're terrified. When we get to the other side, then we act like we're all big and bad. And God is not just faithful when we get to the other side of the storm. God is faithful when we're in the middle of the storm. Jesus said, hey, wherever you go, I am with you. You could go to the ends of the earth. You could go through the craziest circumstances in the world, and I am with you because I'm faithful. And this makes him the goat. Jesus is the goat. He is an anchor for our souls, even when our circumstances seem stormy and chaotic. And so that's the first point. The first idea is that our circumstances don't determine the faithfulness of God. The second thing is this, and we're going to call this point great error day. Now, I don't know how you talk and what kind of vernacular you use and you know, if you're a stickler for grammar, but sometimes we just mix things up and we got a little slang. And so this point is great error day. There are visual reminders of God's faithfulness every single day. Literally every single day. We get to see visual reminders of the faithfulness of God. And so what I love about this particular topic when we talk about God's faithfulness is that we get to see it, right? It's something that we don't just have to wonder about. It's not something that we can just be curious about, but it's something that we can see with our own eyes. Because on the other side of that, people tell us all the time that they're faithful, that they're with us, they're committed to us, they're going to be loyal to us. And yet so often we know that that's not the case. That's not true, right? We don't see that very often in people. Circumstances. Let's say you feel a sense of security about your current circumstances. As we all know, circumstances change, right? Situations change, and things that we have placed our trust in, it's very dangerous. It's like building your house on sand is the way that Jesus explained it. It's not something that we should do because those things are constantly in flux. But God demonstrates his faithfulness to us every single day. It says in the song that we talked about in the beginning that morning by morning, new mercies I see. Every morning when we wake up, every morning when our eyelids slowly come open and we peek out and we see that the sun is still shining, it is a reminder that God is faithful. In the passage that we looked at in Lamentations, it says that they are new every morning. So the song says morning by morning, and the passage says that they are new every morning. They are visual reminders of God's faithfulness to us. Another one of my favorite verses, and I know I've got a lot of those and I say those a lot, but I really mean it. If you can have multiple favorites, it's kind of like junior high girls have a lot of best friends. How can you have a lot of best if best means best, right? So these are some of my favorite verses, and this is another one of my favorite verses. Psalm 113, verse 3, it says this, "From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised." And again, just a visual reminder of God's faithfulness. When the sun rises and the sun sets, and the next day the sun rises and the sun sets, and the next day the sun rises and the sun sets, it is a reminder that God is faithful. And because he's faithful, it is a cause to worship and to praise him. That's why it says the name of the Lord is to be praised. Now, here's one thing that's really interesting and kind of tying in the two about circumstances and God's faithfulness. The sun rises whether we see it or not. It doesn't matter if it's a cloudy day and we can't actually see the sun. The sun is rising and the sun is setting and the sun is rising and the sun is setting. And our circumstances are very similar. We may not see the faithfulness of God, but it's happening. The sun is rising and the sun is setting. And so again, perspective, objective, and we see that God is faithful. So his name is to be praised because he is faithful day in and day out. And that faithfulness exceeds the faithfulness of any person or any situation. And this is one of the things that makes Jesus the goat. The last thing that we're going to look at, this is kind of an exhibition of his faithfulness. And we'll call this point the finality of his faithfulness. I love alliteration. So the finality of his faithfulness. So the greatest display of God's faithfulness toward us is found in Jesus, right? The greatest display of God's faithfulness is found in a God who is willing to give up his son for us, to die on the cross for our sins, to take our place, the punishment that should have been ours, he took upon himself so that we could be in right relationship with God. You don't have to look any further than that if you want to see what faithfulness looks like. God was faithful to us when we were faithless, while we were away from him, while we were running as far and fast and hard as we possibly could. He's been pursuing us all along, day in and day out. He is a faithful God. When we were disobedient and undeserving, he still poured out his love for us. 1 John says that he lavishes his love on us, and it's a love that is faithful. And that's one of the things that I absolutely love about God, is that you don't have to look any further than the basis of the gospel, right? The basics, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And that is a reminder of the faithfulness of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says this: but God demonstrates, again, an exhibition. God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, while we were still faithless, Christ died for us. Faithless us, faithful God. Faithless us, faithful God. Again, circumstances not defining or controlling or dictating God's faithfulness. His faithfulness is further explained in this. And again, one of my favorite verses. It just so happens, right? Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, it says, then what then shall we say in response to these things? And I want you to start thinking about that question. Again, what is your response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If God was willing to go to the lengths, to the desperate measures of giving up his son to demonstrate his faithfulness to us, what else wouldn't he do? There is nothing that he wouldn't do to demonstrate faithfulness to us, his love for us, to pour out his love for us, if he was willing to give up his son to do that. You don't have to look any further than Jesus if you're curious about the faithfulness of God. And so, kind of like we mentioned just a few minutes ago, what is your response to that? How do you respond to the overwhelming faithfulness of God? It's the question that we have to ask ourselves. It's a question that's worth asking, because I think so often we hear words, we hear ideas, we hear messages, we hear sermons, and we never really take the time to process and wrestle with, what does this look like for me? What is it that I need to do with this information? Because information without transformation is an abomination. James said it probably even better than that. Faith without works is dead. We don't want to just be hearers of the word, but doers also. So what is our response to the greatness of God's faithfulness? Here's our response. This is what I think we have to do when we understand God's faithfulness. When you understand God's faithfulness, then you put your faith in him. When you understand God's faithfulness, then you put your faith, your response is, I'm going to put my faith in you, Jesus. My circumstances may not look like you are faithful, but I know that my circumstances do not define your faithfulness. Therefore, I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm going to put my trust in you that you're with me always, even to the ends of the earth, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I see that my circumstances aren't favorable, but I trust that you are faithful and that you're going to be with me. You're going to walk with me through this thing. So given the current circumstances, the current environment of the world that we live in, there are a lot of people who are faced with fear and anxiety, and they feel paralyzed by the circumstances that are going on around them. And if that's the case, if that's where you find yourself today, put your faith in Jesus. God is so incredibly faithful. Put your hope in Jesus, not in your job, not in the government, not even in people. Like, we should love people and we are called to be in community, but ultimately our hope has to be in Jesus, because he is the one who is faithful. And our response to that faithfulness is faith. He deserves your faith. And maybe for you, maybe this is a different type of experience for you. Maybe this is something that you're just new to and you're just trying to learn a little bit about what this crazy church situation is and what Jesus is all about. If you have never placed your faith in Jesus for salvation, the greatest demonstration of love is Jesus giving up his life for us. It says, in fact, that no one has demonstrated greater love than by giving up his life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. So in his faithfulness, he gave up his life for us. So maybe for you today, your response to his faithfulness is placing your faith in him for salvation. It says in Romans chapter 10 that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. We place our faith in him and he is faithful to save us. So again, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your circumstances are. I don't know where you are in your journey, your faith journey. But whatever your next step is, your next step of faith, put your faith in Jesus because he is incredibly faithful. He is the greatest of all time. Amen. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Jesus, thank you for demonstrating love to us by dying on the cross and taking our place, doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. We are so incredibly grateful. But God, that gratefulness, it has to translate to action at some point. And so God, today I pray that we would each and every one of us in our own way, whatever it means to us, whatever you have for us, whatever next step you have for us, God, that we would move. God, we would be called to action, that we would place our faith in you and we would allow your faithfulness to be demonstrated in our life day in and day out. God, not our circumstances, that's not where our trust goes. Not our situations and not our relationships and not what we think we can do and what we can build and how talented we are, God, but our trust and our hope and our faith is in you because you have demonstrated once and for all with the finality of your faithfulness that you are faithful. Thank you so much, Jesus, for doing that for us, to show us what love is and to show us what faithfulness looks like. We give you everything that we've got. We place our future in your hands. And we know that you're safe. You're a good bet, God. And we place our trust in you. And we love you so much. And it's in Jesus' incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Motion Church podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, visit motionchurch.com. If you want to contribute financially to what God is doing here at Motion Church, you can do that by visiting motionchurch.com/giving. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.